thanks to Sarah for inviting me to speak about the e-learning modules that we've created. I am feeling a little bit of deja vu here because I have spoken at these forums on the other side before. In September of 2016, we released an online module for all staff at the City of Sydney called the Records Management Challenge. Now, I've spoken about the development of the module in various places already, including the RIMPA Annual Convention last year, and also at the State Records Digital Implementers Group. And there's been a blog post on Future Brief about it, and also an article in Informer Quarterly, which mentions it. So, initially, Catherine asked me to speak in more detail about the issues and the challenges that we faced in putting that records management challenge together. And most of my presentation will be on the records management challenge. So I do apologise to those of you who've been at any of those places before and heard me speak about this because it's not a lot different. But things have progressed, and we're just about to release in May or June of this year a second information management module called the Information Access Challenge. So today I'm going to expand the scope of what I have to talk about to tell you a little bit about the challenges that we had in putting that challenge together. So hence my cryptic title, we're dealing with two challenges. So this is what I'm going to cover today. I'm going to talk first about the background of both of the challenges, and then I'm going to look at the records management challenge specifically, and I'm going to talk a bit about the aims of that challenge, some initial discussions we had with the consultant, and the storyboard development, the structure of the records management module, how we measured success, and what success actually looked like, and the lessons that we learned along the way. And then I'm going to briefly cover the information access challenge, which presented some different obstacles and challenges. And I'm going to finish with how we propose to share the work that we've done on those modules. So in 2015, we established a working group to look at raising knowledge of and compliance with records management, information access, and privacy legislation at the city. This working group consisted of representatives from the information access team who handle the Government Information Public Access Act, the records management team who obviously handle records, and our corporate governance area who deals with privacy. And we also had some representatives from the learning and development area at the city. So we came up with some various challenges, but key to knowledge raising was to produce three e-learning modules, one on each of the topics. So the first one we developed was privacy, and they looked out at the market and purchased an e-learning module from the Department of Local Government. And that was rolled out in July of 2015. When we went to look for records management and information access courses, we didn't find any suitable courses that said what we really wanted to say. So we went out to tender. Now, the initial tender we went out for was actually looking for someone who had knowledge of records management and information access, and also had e-learning ability. Not surprisingly, we didn't get any suitable responses to that tender. So then we went out again, and this time we decided to just look for an e-learning provider and that we would provide the internal subject matter expertise ourselves. And we engaged a company called OpenLearn for both of the courses. So records management was the first course to be developed with OpenLearn, and Kate Cumming and I wrote the content for this course with input from the working group. And the course was supposed to be relevant for 3 years. So we were looking to try to future-proof the content to make sure it could last that long. So we had our meeting with OpenLearn, and the initial thing they asked us for was to provide some aims and a rough outline. So we had to go back and think about what we really wanted to say in the records management module. The developer essentially said that staff would not remember the majority of course information. So he asked us to identify three key lessons that we wanted people to learn throughout the course. So we had to think about that, work through some specific scenarios that happen in our workplace, and then refined our messaging down to three key learnings. I'm not sure how easy it is to read on that screen, but I'll go through them anyway. The first one was good records are important city assets, and we've heard the importance of records as assets before today. The second one is you must create and manage the right records, those which reduce risk or add value. And the third one was keep records in the right business systems. So with the first of those messages, good records are important city assets, we wanted people to really understand that records and records management are not just about compliance, but they contribute to genuine business and community outcomes. And that message actually influenced quite a lot of the design of the course. So when we tried to design questions, when we were looking at the scenarios, we were all trying to show the value of information on community views and business and service delivery. With the second message, you must create and manage the right records, those which reduce risk or add value, we wanted to help staff understand that in high-risk scenarios, good record keeping is an important risk mitigation strategy. So good records add value in project management, contract management, and other high-risk, high-value processes that our organisations engage in. With that, we also wanted to help stop the converse situation, where some low-risk business processes, thousands of thousands of records are generated and saved when they actually don't need to be. So our TRIM system is cluttered by quite a lot of low-risk information that never should have been saved in the first place. So we wanted to try to get that message across as well. So our message was very much about promoting that you need to think about risk. The third message, keep records in the right business systems, was about trying to introduce all staff to the fact that records aren't only in TRIM. So we have quite high use of TRIM in our organisation, it's about 80%, and they do very much have the view that if it's not in TRIM, it's not a record. So we wanted to show that records are moving and morphing to different environments. There are often genuine risks to information in those environments, and many people are unaware of those risks. So staff responsibilities are changing with the use of external systems and cloud systems, and they need to be aware of the risk and ensure they're mitigated when they need to be. And that might be with good contract management or good system design that takes record keeping into account. So apart from these three key messages, we also wanted to get all the standard messages across that you'll see in most e-learnings. So you need to create records, you need to keep them in the right systems, and staff have responsibilities in relation to data quality, management, security, and disposal. So we went on to have a meeting with our consultant, and in that meeting we jokingly said, we want to make records management fun. And he actually took that very seriously. And he suggested gamification as an idea to make it more engaging. So his idea was to build a structure by answering questions on records management correctly. So his initial idea was actually to build a World Cup stadium in Sydney. But we decided that that wasn't a great idea for us, and that would actually turn our staff off, because the city doesn't build stadiums, it's never going to be building a World Cup stadium. But we did like the idea of building and seeing something emerge during the course. So we brainstormed some ideas of what we could do. And I remember this, we were sitting around at a table with the GDA on the table, looking through it, looking at all the functions of the things that we do and trying to pick something that had long-term record-keeping requirements and something that was not very controversial for the city. And we came across the idea of a park. So the advantages of building a park in our module was that it's something we do, it's nice and visual, and it's already associated with fun, so that's good. There was lots of potential, high public interest, and very long-term record-keeping requirements. The disadvantage is that because we build parks at the city, we'd need to get it right, or staff would know. So the plan for the module was that the more questions they get right, the more features are added to enhance the park that they're building. And wrong answers or poor record-keeping choices have the opposite effect, and you get derelict areas or unfinished features of the park. Now, we decided to set the park in a fictional council called the City of Urbanville. And that's mainly so we don't have to be totally right with the procedure, because if we got something wrong, we could always say, well, that's not how the City of Sydney does it, but it is how the City of Urbanville does it. And also so that staff wouldn't take offence if we accidentally portrayed something that had happened. Now, Urbanville wasn't the original name we chose. There were other possibilities floating around, including Cityville and also Utopia. But I think Utopia wasn't quite the right impression we were trying to make, so we couldn't go along with that. We have a narrator for our module, and her name is Tessa. So we have Tessa of Urbanville. For those of you with literary knowledge, you get that joke? Pretty bad, I know. Openland recommended a professional voiceover, which we got a lady called Anna. And I must say that it really contributed to the quality of the outcome, getting that professional voiceover. It's very polished. Openland also recommended we have no quiz or test, which was a bit of a surprise to us. He suggested that we rely on people's competitive natures, so they would be so interested in trying to get the right park that they would go back and redo things that they got wrong anyway. And we actually had feedback that that worked. So OpenLearn turned our initial thoughts into a PowerPoint with some suggestions on writing style and a few graphics to show us what it would look like. And I'll show you a few of these. So there is Urbanville, and there is Tessa. And you can see in the middle, there's a derelict park. By answering questions on the different sections, you get to add trees, a tennis court, a playground, extra flowers, and a cycleway. So it becomes this. Now, I mentioned before that we're trying to show community impact. So media attention and community views are also important, and there's an outcome in the media for everything that you do. So once we understood the style that was needed, then we had to go away and write the whole storyboard. And Kate's not here anymore, I think, but she would agree that it took us many drafts to get that completely right, because we had a huge amount of concepts that we wanted to convey, but we had to be brief, and we had to use plain English because we were going out with this module to all of our office space staff, some of who had English as a second language, some of you, they all had different educational levels. So we had to try to communicate as easily as we could. And that was quite difficult for Kate and I, let me say, because we would come up with our usual records management speak, talking about accountability and that kind of thing, and OpenLearn would come back to us and go, you are not allowed to have anything over three syllables. So accountability became, you need to account. We structured the module into discrete sections with two questions in each section. And this is what the menu looked like. So you can see the progression here for each section, how you're going from a derelict area to a more developed area of the park. So we've got the introduction and conclusion, and then we've got six different topics. And those topics reflect the kinds of things that are in the most of our records management training and modules: making records, keeping records, making records accurate, and making records secure, that kind of thing. So questions and the supporting text around the questions would draw out things that we want to highlight about the topic, and that would often play on incorrect assumptions in our organisation and probably many others, like all records are kept for 7 years. So we were doing a lot of myth busting along the way as well. So the three key messages were represented with icons, and they appeared after each question, and they would draw out points relating to the scenario. And the icon method was actually one of our beneficial little toys, because what it did was gave us, so basically the icons would appear and they would click on the each icon to reveal a bit of text. And that was useful when we had large chunks of text, because you try to avoid that with e-learning. So it would mean that they'd only get presented with small amounts at each time. So the structure of the module looks something like this. So we had it, we gave them up front the scenario, so straight into the e-learning experience in Urbanville. And then we would ask a question, and they would get two opportunities to answer the question. We then showed the three key messages, so the icons would appear and they would click on each of those and they'd get the explanation in relation to the question. Then they'd get their outcome. So this is whether they got their reward or not in terms of a piece of the park. Then we'd go to a bonus question and answer, and then the final outcome of the section. So you could win a feature in the first question, and then in the second question get an additional reward. Or if you missed out on the feature in the first question, the second question gave you the opportunity to get that piece of the park. Or if you got both questions wrong, you'd still end up with a derelict bit. And then you move to the next topic. So I'm just going to walk you through. I apologise, I don't have the audio and all the bells and whistles with this one, but just to see the images. So this one's topic three, keeping records. So in this topic, we have the opportunity to replace this shed with a tennis court. And so you start with the old shed, and there would be audio here relating the scenario. And then you go to the first question. As I said, you get two opportunities to get that right, but in this case we have. So we get the answer and the explanatory text. Then the icons appear, and you need to click on each icon to understand how it relates to the key messages to the scenario. And this is our reward. So we answered the question correctly, so we get a tennis court in place of the old shed. So if you got that wrong, you'd be still seeing the old shed at that point. Then we get our positive or negative headline, depending on how you answered. So this is the positive one. And I must say that the e-learning provider was very good at cheesy headlines. And I actually learned that skill from him, and my cheesy headlines became even worse. So this is actually one of mine. So that then leads you to the bonus question. And so if you didn't have the tennis court, you get another opportunity to get it. If you do, then you get a spectator stand as a reward here, as you can see from the images there, if you get that bonus question correct. So here you see how the park is progressing at that point. Now, this is only part of the way through the module. So you can see there's still quite a lot of derelict features in the park, but we have our little area of trees down the bottom, and we have our full tennis court and spectator stand. And then you get the final result. So if you'd got a question wrong and you had a bad headline, you can actually turn the headline around by getting the bonus question correct. So we went live with the module at the beginning, or at the middle of September it was, last year, and that happened to accidentally coincide with the records management, with the TRIM upgrade to 8.3, and also I was at the RIMPA convention in Perth. So not great timing, it was a very busy time. But it was rolled out for a month. Now, in terms of measurement, we were close to completing the module when our consultant asked us if we could submit the course for an e-learning award. And one of the criteria for that award was evidence of having conveyed the learning objectives. But we didn't have a quiz. So we realised then we didn't really have an objective measure of success of the module. And that led us to think at the very last minute that we should build in three questions at the beginning of the module and the same three questions at the end of the module to measure any changes in responses. And we wanted to build those three questions roughly around the key messages and also using common assumptions in the organisation again. So we came up with three questions, and our e-learning staff attempted to build them into our ancient LMS. And this because this was after the handover from OpenLearn that this all happened. But unfortunately, there were some performance issues with the ancient LMS, and so they had to be removed. So we instead sent out pre and post module surveys to a random selection of staff, 100 staff, via SurveyMonkey. We didn't have a license, which was why it was only 100. And just to get some sense of the value of the module, and we had 48 people answer both of the pre and post quizzes. So our questions weren't perfect. I think survey writing is really an art in itself, and two of them were slightly misunderstood, but I think the results still show some fairly significant changes. So the first question was aimed at trying to see if people thought they needed to keep absolutely everything they do, or only the key things, and so they don't need to save every single email that they've ever created into Trim, for example. And the number of those who thought everything needed to be saved dropped by 10.75%. It could have been higher, but a few people misinterpreted that question. In the second question, we were trying to dispel the myth that all of the city's records must be stored in Trim. So some don't because they're very low risk, and some don't because they're actually in other business systems that are managing them appropriately for the time period that they need to be kept. And the result there improved by 22.91%. And the third question was aimed at the myth that all records are kept for 7 years. So the percentage of people who thought that this was reduced by 23.57%, and the percentage who thought that all records need to be kept forever dropped from 8.77% to zero. So we can't claim total success in getting some messages across, but we definitely have been able to educate people through the e-learn. And importantly too, afterwards, after it went live, we started getting a number of approaches from business areas asking us questions about things like the design of systems that they're procuring or using and the record-keeping functionality of systems, and this was all quite new. Now, the survey also gave people the opportunity to add some feedback. And in fact, other people provided feedback for us even though we didn't ask for it. And our learning and development people tell us that that has never happened before with all the e-learning courses at the city. So these were some of the good comments. We had many, many good comments, so I had to whittle this down to a list that would fit on the page. But there's a couple of really good ones. My favourite is, good job on the course, guys. I wasn't bored to death, and it was done with quickly, which shows you the kind of e-learning fatigue there is in our organisation. But other good ones, best online training I've done in a while, found myself really caring about that park and competitively wanting the extra trees. As a consequence, found myself reading to understand rather than skimming to click the right button to get through the training as quickly as possible. Or, OMG, who built that records management challenge module with Urbanville in the park? That brought online learning forward 20 years, great effort. Or, it's fabulous. I want New Year's Eve in Urbanville. I want WHS in Urbanville. We could even do terrorism and threat levels in Urbanville. Great idea. I really enjoyed the learning because it was so innovative and the voiceover was so nice too. Good for you and your team. So, looking at what worked and what didn't work. I think that the oversight group was very useful and they all brought their own expertise to the table. We also benefited from using the consultant who had particularly graphics expertise that we never would have done in-house and design ideas, and definitely using the professional audio made it a lot more polished. The three key messages are a great concept that I want to use again and again because it really resonates with people. Keeping it short and simple in plain English and not using too many concepts certainly worked well. And making it fun and different worked really well for us. So it really caught people's attention and it was enjoyable rather than an obligation. Making it as future-proof as possible was also good, doesn't require too many changes. And the other thing that was really important for us was making sure that we had ownership of the intellectual property. In terms of what didn't work, we greatly underestimated the time that it would take. We had to write the storyboard, consult with the team, test it out on people, do quality checking, make changes, obtain approvals, and even to have time to just sit down and think about it a little bit more, because it doesn't always come to you straight away. And we didn't leave enough time for all of that. And so we were a little bit behind schedule. When I say behind schedule, we were about 3 months behind, and two of those months were because we had missed our opportunity in the list of courses that were being rolled out. We only roll out once a month, so we had to wait a few months to slot back in again. And also, given that we didn't have a measurable quiz, we should have been thinking about how to measure success earlier. So what's next? The information access challenge. So this one is about information access and more specifically the Government Information Public Access Act. So this one is in the same style as our records management module, but we're building a garden palace or a glasshouse for plants to add to Smart Park. Now it took us a really long time to settle on that idea. We did want to relate it to the park. We wanted to see the connection between records management and public access, but we also wanted it to be a little bit distinct. So the idea of the module is that people will learn how and why we give members of the public access to the city's information, and it gets people making some decisions on information access issues. Their decisions will have a significant impact on building progress and on community reactions again, both to the Garden Palace this time and the City of Urbanville. So various things happen in this module, from controversy over the approval of plans and the site for the Garden Palace to some poor VIPs falling and hurting themselves on cactus plants at the party launch. And my corny headlines continue. The storyboard had its own issues for this one. The thing about the records management one was that staff had a pretty reasonable knowledge about their requirements for records management. But for information access and GIPA, they had little or no knowledge at all. Now that makes gamification really, really difficult because you're trying to teach people new and quite complex concepts that are quite alien to them, woven into scenario-based situations, and then expecting them to correctly answer questions. So we had to try to keep it simple. And we probably went through double the amount of drafts with this one as we did with the records management module. And I confess, I still worry a little bit that this module may still be too difficult for some staff members. It will definitely need to be supported by further guidance and face-to-face training for those people who deal specifically with giving access to the public so that they can really consider the issues that they might face. Now we ended up adopting a slightly different format for this module. In the records management module, because people knew of their record keeping obligations already, that we just were presenting the scenarios up front. And then we're giving them information afterwards, drawing out information from the scenario. But with this one, we had to present the information they needed to know first and show the key learning icons up front. And then we established the scenario and the question and answer. So we actually had to give them the information first that they needed to answer the question. And then they get an outcome after the first question. You can see here that further information is in green. Sometimes we decided on really easy bonus questions that didn't rely on absorbing more information. They were much more common sense kind of questions. But because we had a huge amount to cover, yet again with this one, sometimes we have to introduce a new concept with the bonus question. So if we did, we'd also give some further information slides before you got the bonus question. Again, they're given as many opportunities as they can to get the questions right. There was also challenges in graphics, in determining how this module would develop graphically. So when we were building the park, when we were building the park with the records management challenge, people who answer questions wrong are left with derelict areas of the park, but you can still have that final outcome. But with the palace, you can't get the glass if you don't have the foundations and the frame, which were rewards. So we decided that instead of actually depriving them of those things, what we had to do was make the consequences of incorrect questions more about poor community feedback and delays. So when they start the new module, the new topic in the module, they would have the foundation or the frame or the glass to move on with anyway. So this module is being launched in May or June, depending on when it all gets finished. And we're yet to see if it was the right decision to follow the records management module kind of structure, or whether a traditional course might have been more successful with such a complex topic. But I think in our organisation now, there is an expectation that we ourselves have created about e-learning. So we felt that we had to take the risk to try to do it again. Now, I did mention sharing at the beginning. So we have been speaking about the records management module since September of last year, and we've been approached by a number of government agencies along the way asking us if we can share the records management module. And the city has agreed to share it at no cost with other government agencies at any level of government. So it's probably very appropriate for another council. You might have to look at it if you're from federal or state government to see if it's suitable for you or whether you can modify it for use. But we're sharing it under a Creative Commons license, which is attribution, non-commercial, share alike agreement. And this license allows others to remix, tweak, and build upon the module non-commercially, as long as they credit the City of Sydney and license any new creations under the same Creative Commons license. So if you want to view the module or obtain the source code, then there's the email for you, the develop one. Or if you simply just want to have a look at a Word version of the storyboard to see if it might be something you want to pursue, then you can email me. And mine's jvellata@cityofsydney.nsw.gov.au. Thank you.